Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our lesson from the book of Acts, our first lesson heard today. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, that first lesson from the book of Acts takes place in the city of Athens. Now, you may know Athens from the Olympics, or you may think of studying about it in school, or some pictures of the Parthenon and things like that. So a few of us here have actually been to Athens. And back in the day, Athens had a nickname. Athens was called the Eye of Greece. Now, the eye as in the eye that sees things. In other words, Athens is the one place where people see things really as they are. Another town might be called the hand of Greece because they do all the work, or the back of Greece because they carry all the burdens, but Athens is the eye of Greece. It's the place where you see things. You see through things. You see around things. You see underneath things. Where you know what is the truth. It is a gathering place. A gathering place of the very best minds. Today we would call it an Ivy League town. Oxford University, Harvard University, something like that. And again, back then, the sons of the elite families of the Roman Empire would be sent to Athens to study and to learn, because they were expected to fulfill their proper role in the future. And that is not just common laborers or common soldiers or ditch diggers or things like that. No, these fellows that went to Athens, they were to be the leaders of the future. They were the thinkers. They were the public servants. They were the military officers. They were people like Pontius Pilate, who, when our Lord Jesus talked to him about the truth, Pilate looked at him and said, "What is truth?" The man had read so many books, had studied so many different ideas, that after a while he said, "You know, you folks figure out what the truth is. I don't have any time for that. What is the truth? What is the truth?" Today's lesson, St. Paul speaks before a gathering of philosophers. Epicurean philosophers, we're told. Stoic philosophers, we are told. They are men of great learning, men of high standing. And the customary way of figuring this out for today's sermon would be to go through all of their different beliefs that they followed in their philosophy. But I think we can cut to the chase and make things simple and understand what they are about, their beliefs, by asking a simple question. And here is the question. What do you do? What do you do if you get cancer? What do you do if you get cancer? And what do you do? What do you do when you find that out? Both of these groups would answer much as the same way modern people do. You find out from the doctor that you've got cancer, and what do you say? What's the first thing out of your mouth? I'm going to what? There you go. You all said it together. I'm going to beat this thing. And that's what they said too, which is a little puzzling because they didn't have modern medicine. So how are they going to beat this thing? Well, they're not going to beat it medically, obviously. But they're going to beat it mentally and philosophically and behaviorally. The Epicureans, for instance, they will beat their cancer by pursuing their life to its very end, to its fullest. All the way drinking down all the pleasures of life, experiences, pleasures, joys, causes you want to get involved in, charities. Pursue your life with passion in the face of this thing. You got your bucket list. Fulfill your bucket list. This is how you deal with the issue of cancer. How you handle it. Sounds kind of modern. Greek historian Herodotus told a story of a king way back in ancient times who was told by the gods he had only 1 year to live. So what did he do? Well, he was a good Epicurean. He partied all day long. And then he partied all night long. And so he thumbed his nose at the gods because in actuality he lived 2 years instead of one. I don't know if he could do that, up all day and up all night. Anyway, that's a story anyway. The historian says that. So where did he get cancer? I'm going to beat it. Now the Stoics would stand outside the house of the Epicurean. They listen to all the music and the dancing and the partying that's going on. And they would just shake their heads. And they would say, no, that's not how you handle it. If you find out that you got cancer, you handle it with apatheia. Apatheia. We get the word apathy from that, which means they don't care about anything. But apatheia to them means something a little bit different. Ah, no, patheia, passion. In other words, I don't get worked up about stuff. I don't get all riled. Why is this going to happen? What's going to happen? Who's going to take care of all these things? You just handle it with calmness, equilibrium, acceptance, keeping your mental balance. Come what may, your boat's not going to tip. Other people may gain courage from your experience. You're going to beat this thing by not being afraid. So, you got cancer. How do you deal with it? Bravado. How do you deal with it? Coolness under fire. How do you deal with it? Modern person. Well, we have an answer too, and that is, I'm going to beat it. And how am I going to beat it? By medical science. Medical science will take care of this particular problem. What do you think? Have we improved from the old times? Have we done better? Have we gone long distance further or just a little step? Medical science will take care of me. Will it? Will you beat it? The cancer? You watch television or look on the internet and you see ads all the time for this medicine or that medicine or the other medicine, and you go to the doctor and they tell you it costs $1,000 a dose and whatever for the new ones. There are new surgeries that come out, new treatments, places you can go, experimental medical ideas. And you take it all together, and let me ask you the question. What impact have they made upon the death rate? Has the death rate improved? Can we say now, well, 14% of all people that are ever born will never die? What is the death rate? Tell me. 100%. Even with all the medicine. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to beat it with bravado. I'm going to beat it with calmness. I'm going to beat it with medical science. Problem is, you didn't beat it. You didn't. And maybe at that point, you begin to realize that when all is said, all is done, all of these things that are promises to you in this life, and I've used this picture before, but I'm going to use it again, I like it. All of these things in this life are nothing but duct tape. Duct tape. Now, let's not get critical. Duct tape has a purpose. It's a good thing. It solves certain things. You probably got duct tape in your garage at home, right? And what do you do with it? Well, you use it to wrap stuff up. You use it to hold things together. You use it to patch holes. And it works. For a while. And then what happens? The duct tape starts to fray. It starts to tear. It starts to disintegrate. It falls to pieces. And you begin to realize that duct tape is not a cure. Duct tape is not a solution. Duct tape is not even an answer. It's just a patch. It's just a band-aid for now. And in the end, what in this world is or is not just duct tape? What isn't just duct tape? Well, we can go down the list. I think one of the hymns we just sang a moment ago went down the list. The list of the usual suspects of all the things in this world. Let's see if any of them are not duct tape. You tell me. Health. Duct tape or not? It's duct tape. Wealth. Duct tape. Possessions. Duct tape. Status. Duct tape. Friends. Family. Art. Music. Learning. Hobbies. Skills. Professions. Experiences. Memories. Medical treatments. They hold you together for a while, but in the end, they fray, they tear, they disintegrate. And when that begins to happen, you look around you for an answer, for some philosopher who's going to tell you how to deal with this. And if you look at your world today, what do the philosophers, the wise ones, say? The ones around the hill of Mars, the Areopagus, where all the philosophers gather, what do they say? They say, is your duct tape fraying? Is it tearing? Is it disintegrating? What do you do? You tell me. What do you do? Put on some more. Wrap it around another layer, and another layer, and another layer, and keep on wrapping layers until the thing is just thick with duct tape. And sooner or later, as a Christian person, you say, it seems to me that there's an elephant in this room that nobody's talking about. Is there anything in this world that isn't just duct tape? Now, in Athens, today's lesson. Now in Athens, while Paul was waiting for his friends, his spirit was greatly upset in himself as he beheld that the city was full of idols, the city of Athens. Athens, which is the eye of Greece, the eye which sees everything and knows everything and has all the right answers. It's the Harvard, it's the Oxford. It sees below things, it sees behind things, it sees underneath things. It sees everything. It's the place with all the answers. And the whole thing, as Paul looks around, and the Holy Spirit gives you this knowledge, interestingly enough. As Paul looks around, he says, you know, the whole thing, as beautiful as it is, what is it? It's just duct tape. It is just duct tape. Romans chapter 1, he says, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, that's usually where the sermon ends, when you say, Amen. But Paul takes it a little further, because you have to go a little further. This is what he says. He says to the people of Athens, he says, you know, the times of ignorance, just quoting today's lesson, the times of ignorance, God overlooked. We're done with that now, all right? We went down the wrong path, but now is the time to think straight. Now is the time to see things as they really are. Everywhere he announces to all people that they need to repent, because the day God has set in which he's about to judge the inhabited world in righteousness, and he will judge it in a man whom he has marked off, giving a down payment to all by having raised him from the dead. That was Paul's sermon in Athens. Now we know, just beyond today's lesson, it didn't go all the way into that. Beyond that point, some of the people who listened to him began to make fun of him, the message he was preaching. They called him, in their words, a seed picker. Think about a bunch of hens, and what do? You throw out the grain, what do? Peck, 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 peck. They call him a seed picker. In other words, he's a fellow who's read a couple of brochures, and now he wants to be the tour guide.
He's a fellow who's picked up a couple of pamphlets,
and now he's the professor to teach us all.
They would remind him probably of the words of a much later poet who said, and you know the words, "A little learning is a dangerous thing." Drink deep, or not at all, from the Pierian spring, the spring of knowledge. They would say, "Paul, what are you talking about? You're a seed picker. You have just a little learning." And his response to them is, "Yes, maybe I have a little learning, but that's better than no learning. Most dangerous of all is no learning, that you've never learned what you truly are before a righteous God. That you have never learned that the day is coming when the Lord will judge the quick and the dead. That you have never learned that the only way to stand up in that judgment is to have the Lord's standard of righteousness. And the only thing you have never learned that the only way you're going to get that standard of righteousness is by the cross of Jesus and his atoning sacrifice, where God's righteousness is given to you. And you have never learned that the evidence to that fact is that the Father marked him out. All kinds of prophets and preachers and holy men and women, those folks have come along throughout the centuries. But there's only one who is the Son of God. There's only one who is the Savior. There's only one who gives you eternal life. And God the Father marked him out by doing what? Raising him from the dead on the third day. And that is our faith. Now, it sounds on the surface like just another belief system, another patch. Except for the fact that nobody was looking for it. Nobody cooked it up in their head. Nobody was anticipating it. Nobody was planning for it. Nobody was waiting for it. Nobody was expecting it. It never entered the mind of man what God had planned for those who love him. Matter of fact, it even caught his followers by surprise. Jesus' disciples were surprised because what happened? They saw him go to the cross. 3 days later, what? He rose again from the dead. And in that resurrection, the Father was doing two things. First of all, as I said, he was saying, this is the one you want to believe in. This is the one you hold on to. But not only that, by raising him from the dead, God the Father was giving to you and to me an earnest, I also want to say down payment, but that's not quite accurate, an earnest that all who belong to Jesus will be raised from the dead to eternal life together with him. It's like when you buy a house. Unless you got enough money to pay for the cash, what do? You take out a loan, and then you give to the current owner what? An earnest, which means what? Well, I'm paying my loan down. Yeah, that's true, but not, there's something more to it than that. I'm giving you this money as a promise that what's going to happen? I'm going to give you the rest of the money, too, when I buy your house. It's a promise from the Lord, a promise from a human being. Now, the promise from the Lord is what? Psalm 23. How does it go? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another house, and that's the house of God forever, his kingdom. And so you have city Athens, full of idols, held together by duct tape. And so the human heart, hoping in anything, trying to be brave, trying to stay calm, going to see yet another doctor who might be able to fix things. But finally you get to the end of everything, and you realize you spent your whole life like a bunch of Athenians on the hill talking about the latest news. That's all that ever happened. When instead, what did God do? The Lord said, I'm going to address the real problem. The problem when it comes to sin and death and eternal death. And the truth is, you are not going to beat this thing. You will not beat it. Only Christ beat it. Christ beat this thing. He was raised from the dead. And everybody who belongs to him is going to share in his win, share in his victory, share in his glory. Because let's be honest, let's be realistic. Everything else is just what? Duct tape. It's just duct tape. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.